Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
Hi, this is David Heimer. Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. Today I'm talking with Doug Wyatt, founder and president of Synergy Learning Systems. Doug has a successful and interesting background as an entrepreneur even before founding Synergy Learning Systems. And Synergy Learning Systems has a broad offering of top-notch learning content and programs. They are a Service Nation preferred partner. And this year, they won the Most Value Added to Your Business Award voted on by the members of Service Nation. Very impressive. So, Doug Wyatt, welcome to Profiles in Prosperity.
Thank you so much for having us, David. Really appreciate it. What an honor it is to be here with you, a legend in the industry. So, happy to be here.
Well, thank you. So, you've got this fascinating business background. Could you give us a bit of the highlights of your business background and how you ended up in our industry?
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you asking that. You know, and I don't want to scare the listeners, but I'm going to start back to when I was just a small child, because I think it's relevant for us here in the trades. You know, I grew up in the country. It was a little town in Southwest Missouri, and we didn't have a lot. Wore hand-me-downs until the seventh grade, got my first new pair of shoes when I made the basketball team. But my dad reminded my brother and myself that we had it really good, because every day he would remind us that he grew up in a one-room shack in Forsyth, Missouri, down along the Arkansas border, and they had no indoor plumbing, they had no closets, they didn't have a lot to wear, and they had electricity, but they had an outhouse about 20 yards outside of the front door. So no matter how good we had it growing up, my dad liked to remind me that we had it better. And so I grew up working on tractors and dirt bikes, and a lot of my friends, you know, were families of farmers, and so I baled more hay, David, than I care to even remember. I think I still have the slivers in my wrist from bucking bales of hay up on trucks. But what I did learn from that small community, among a number of things, was to conduct your business with integrity, to keep your word at all costs, and either keep your word or you go to your grave trying. And I took this incredible work ethic from the countryside. And I think, you know, I bring that to entrepreneurship. Basketball was my ticket out of town. I played a couple of years of college ball in Kansas before transferring to the University of Colorado. And there, while working on my business degree, I just decided I was tired of being broke. And so I was introduced to a person who gave me a book called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And that really set me on a new path. I started reading all kinds of sales books and influence and business and leadership books. And I got the idea to start a door-to-door sales company selling pizza coupons door-to-door in Boulder and Denver, Colorado. And it took me about 6 months, but I kind of thought I figured it out. So I wrote my first training manual. It was about 84 pages long. I had a buddy that was a DJ. And so I laid down my first audio training tracks, and I was in business. And flyered the campus after I'd taught myself how to sell at doors for 6 months, hired 10 fellow students. And before you know it, I went from being pretty much destitute, dead broke, being around a lot of rich kids there in Boulder, Colorado. And all of a sudden I was making $1,000 a night, 5 days a week. And I was off to the races, and I just said, I'm never going to look back. By the time I graduated college, I had 500 kids working for me in 7 states. And I'll tell you what, if you do the math on that, that's quite a bit of revenue. And instead of buying a fancy car, this is where my story really starts to take a turn. I set up my college schedule to run Monday through Wednesday. By Wednesday evening, I was done. On Thursday morning, I was on a plane, and I would put myself on planes to go see the greats. And I'm talking about, you know, back in the 90s, guys like Tony Robbins and Zig Ziglar, Tom Hopkins, Brian Tracy, Wayne Dyer, Jim Rohn, and of course, the late, great Stephen R. Covey, who wrote The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. So just to kind of finish up that story about how I left the countryside, you know, I was very fortunate to learn from those men and many others. And I just became inspired to become a part of the personal development movement since I was about 20 years old. And, you know, way back when I was a much younger man, I decided that I would make room in my days to learn from others, to block a specific amount of time for self-development and personal development. And, you know, David, I'm 48 now. And so for the last 28 years, I've committed myself to an hour of personal development every day. I've now read thousands of books, many of them twice, many of them more than 5 times, and a few of them more than 20. And, you know, I've just taken the things that I've learned and studied and applied these things into the businesses that I've been involved in. And I like to encourage others that, you know, we never stop learning unless we decide to. So I've just decided that if it's important to me, if it's important to us, then we will not only find the time, we'll make the time. And that every day I invest 60 minutes working on me. So I like to get up and start my day rather than listen to music in the shower. As I get up and start my day, I start either a podcast such as one like yours, or Audible is my go-to. And that's where I'm listening to all the books, is Audible. And I'm usually doing it in the morning. If I don't get my full hour in the morning, David, and this is a great question, I like to call anytime I'm behind that windshield my drive time university. If I'm on an airplane, that's my fly time university. And then I do a lot of stationary bikes because I've torn up my knees over the years. So as I'm riding, I got my ride time university on that stationary bike for 30 minutes a day. I'm listening and I'm learning and I'm trying to make the most use of my time.
Wow, that's fantastic. It's a great lesson for everybody.
And then I really didn't mention how I got into the HVAC business and home services. But when I was graduating from college, I was having lunch one day with a guy, we'll call him Rob. And I'd been doing a lot of promotions for his pizza restaurants. And he said, Doug, what are you going to do now that you're graduating? You going to keep building door-to-door crews? And my answer was, heck no. I mean, I'd had some success, but every time kids would go home for the summer, my crews would fall apart.
So, rebuilt every year, right?
That's no fun, having to rebuild and do the rehire. It's better to find a crew and stick with them. And so he said, well, Doug, you want to open some restaurants? And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, one condition, you got to keep these crews going, because I had made him the number one Papa Murphy's franchisee in the country from doing all these door-to-door promotions for all of his restaurants. So in 1 year, me and this guy, Rob, we opened 9 restaurants in the Denver metro area, 6 Papa Murphy's Take and Bakes and 3 Subways. And I'll tell you what, that was baptism by fire. Point of sale systems, bounce back coupons, you know, 40 employees, usually about the age of 16, working in a restaurant. And one day Rob was on the golf course. I didn't grow up golfing. And he met a guy that had started an HVAC company. And he came back and he was like, Doug, what do you think about HVAC? And I said, I don't know. Why are you asking me? And he goes, man, I met this guy. He started a company. And what if we franchised HVAC companies instead of restaurants? At the time, we were getting ready to open some Del Tacos in Kansas City. And I said, Rob, we don't know anything about HVAC. And he goes, well, that's just the thing. This guy doesn't either. I'm like, great. So
we'll learn from him.
Oh my goodness. So David, fast forward a few months later, I invest $250,000 into a fledgling HVAC company, a little less than 2 years old, in Colorado Springs. And I just dove in head first. And we grew that company in a down economy. In 2009, that company was recognized by Inc. magazine as one of the fastest growing companies in America. And as you know, that was when we almost had a worldwide financial collapse. But we were selling one of the nation's largest manufacturers of heating and air conditioning equipment. And we were selling all their most efficient stuff. And our business doubled that year. And they asked us if we would be able to teach what we were doing to many of their other contractors. And that's really what got me into the training side. Over the next 5 years, we trained about 1,000 small business owners in the home service industry, mostly HVAC, some plumbing, to scale their business with integrity and to serve customers better. And worked with estimated about 7,000 HVAC technicians. And then after 5 years of that, man, I was burnt out on conference centers and airlines and hotels. And I left the training side, joined a small ma-and-pa company in Denver, Colorado, 18 years in business. And I'll tell you, Dave, just to describe this company, good guys, couple of business owners working to do good installs, but there were no phones. They had a shop in a rough part of town near downtown Denver. There was no internet, no chairs, no tables, no shelves, no inventory system, no recognizable brand. It was just a couple of white vans with a logo, no truck wraps, no functioning website, and hardly anyone was even answering the phones live. And this was in the fall of 2015. They had an old school answering machine about 40 minutes south of town at one of my business partner's house. And it was one of those, I know you'll remember these, that was like, leave a message after the tone, and the tone would last longer the more messages that were built up.
Right, because it had to get to that part of the tape.
The tape. So it was like, right. Leave a message at the tone. Beep. You know, they were dispatching the two techs, which were the sons, off of Yahoo Calendar as their makeshift CRM, and they had one install crew. So I joined that business in the fall of 2015 for 33% ownership under two conditions. I wasn't going to invest a single dollar of capital, and I would only come into that facility one day a week. I really just wanted to prove doing it the second time, that you could grow a business in the industry with intellectual property and that it wasn't required to be in the facility on a daily basis to implement or to inspire massive change. In other words, systems and processes built on high service, not high pressure. And so I set out to recruit the best technicians in town, training them and working with them, treating them better than what they were being treated by my competitors. And that's what we did. And I will say expectations of the men and women that came to work for us were extremely high, and training happened every week, rain or shine. No matter how hot or how cold, we never stopped training. Each individual in that company, no matter their role, was expected to get incrementally better every single week. Everyone had assignments of what they were expected to work on and to get better at each week, and what that translated into. After 18 years in business and then 14 straight months of keeping our nose to the grindstone, we won Lennox Partner of the Year. And after 18 years of futility, we built a brand and a company with systems that we could all be proud of. And so it is possible, but it was probably one of the hardest things I've ever done, to take a company with a lot of bad habits and no training, no systems, no processes, and put all that in place. But it is possible if that's what we're focused on.
Wow, what an incredible story. So you joined that company in 2015, is that right?
Yeah, in the fall of 2015. My first meetings were in August of that year, and then full speed ahead at about September 1st of 2015.
And then just a couple of years later, you guys were Partner of the Year, is that right?
Yeah, you know, we went through the fall of 2015 and then all of 2016. And then at one of those Lennox Lives, we were named Lennox Partner of the Year. So that was based on 14 months, keeping our nose to the grindstone. And full disclosure, David, I want to say this too for the listeners. I know a number of the people that you've had on, and probably a lot of the people listening. You know, full disclosure, our business almost went out of business the following year in 2017. I had taken my eye off of some of the KPIs in regard to margins. We were spending money like crazy, buying vans, wrapping vans, getting ready to move into a new facility, inventorying those vans. So for the listeners, they can certainly relate to, a $40,000 truck is also a $3,500 wrap and $15,000 in inventory and putting a new tech in that seat and uniforms and insurance and everything else. But yeah, we had a rough go of it in 2017, and we put the halt, really just put the brakes on growth, got refocused on all those other KPIs, margins, and really just refined every process in that business. And like a phoenix rising from the ashes, after one of the most difficult years of my life, we came back and won Lennox Partner of the Year again in 2018. Those first couple of years, we scaled revenue-wise from about $800,000 in add-on replacement HVAC projects in the year I joined in 2015 to about $8 million a couple of years later. So incredible. I don't have a story of wine and chocolates and roses. It's hard work, but it is possible. But we've got to focus on what I believe are the right things and treating our people right, and really just to focus on training, if you ask me.
Yeah. And so from there, did you leave to create Synergy Learning Systems, or was there something in between?
Yeah, it's a good question. I guess I could say that here through my younger years, I've been a serial entrepreneur. During that same time, I also had a dental consulting business with another gentleman. I had a friend from high school that had created an all-natural sleep aid. We created a process that got us into some of the world's largest mass retailers, have an all-natural sleep aid in Walmart, Walgreens, and CVS. In six states surrounding our headquarters in Missouri, we outsell 5-Hour Energy 2-1. But, during COVID, I had to kind of take a step back and say, I'm 45 years old at the time, a few years ago. What do I want the next 45 years of my life to look like? And what I decided was I'm truly passionate about helping others. So I take that mentality and I created Synergy Learning Systems well over a decade ago, but I've just decided that for the next 45 years of my life, that is what I'm focused on. So we do 3-day full immersion events for CSRs, techs, comfort advisors, and sales teams, and then also leadership training based on my 7 Habits certification. And then we've also launched a virtual training program unlike anything else I think that we've ever seen in the trades. It's fully interactive, it's comprehensive, full reporting, and we're actually creating KPIs on the personal development of our team, whether that be our CSRs, our technicians, our installers, our comfort advisors, or our leadership team. We're actually able to measure on a daily, weekly, monthly, and annual basis the personal growth of our team. And I think it's going to change the way a lot of us go about running our business and growing our teams. So a lot of different things. And so I think I would like to communicate, since I just brought up some of our programs at Synergy, I'm done with spreading myself too thin and I'm focused on training 100% of the time.
That interactive learning system sounds really fantastic. And the ability to measure individual growth in a meaningful way is something that people have always wanted and needed. You know that somebody took this course, but what were the results from it? How did they grow? How did they improve? Why are you getting a return on investment? Are you getting a return on investment? All that stuff is really the piece that's missing out of a lot of training.
Yeah, you know, David, I'm glad you brought that up. A lot of times guys will say when they learn about my story and rapidly going to Linux Partner of the Year with an 18-year-old company, they often say, Doug, how did you do it? And I've thought about that a lot. And I think what I've noticed about what I did in that company compared to what a lot of my fellow friends and contractors are doing is they're not putting the same amount of focus on training as I did. I mentioned rain or shine, hot or cold. It didn't matter how hot it was or how cold it was. We didn't miss meetings and the meetings were incredibly well prepared. And I think one of the reasons that our meetings were so well prepared, in fact, my service manager and now my chief operations officer at Synergy, but my service manager at the company in Denver, his name's Chris McCollum. And Chris, one day in a meeting, we were kind of getting into some of the technical stuff. And he goes, you know what you are, Doug? You are strategically incompetent. And I took that as one of the biggest compliments I've ever received. What he meant was, I just know enough about the technical side of our business to be dangerous. And so I have no challenge in sharing that with the audience because my men never expected me to come out and help on an install or run a service call when it was 10 below. They knew that my responsibilities in our organization was to make sure that they were compensated incredibly well, that they had great uniforms, great vehicles, new tires, windshields, marketing, website, make sure we've got leads and calls and all that. But training every week, company-wide meeting, 90 minutes every week, service meetings, and not just on the technical side, 45 minutes on personal growth, role-playing, fun-type meetings, install meetings that also role-played. How do we show up at the door? How do we enter the home? How do we put down our drop cloths? How do we do system walkthroughs? And we would role-play that. And our guys got more and more comfortable and became very competitive to make sure they were the best. We would role-play in our call center, you know, every call that came in. And so what I did and why I love the training side is I see all of my fellow contractors, or at least most of them, getting caught up in the burning fires, the ringing phones, the upset customers, the technician that just quit, the van that blew through a stop sign, or the car that rear-ended us. And all these things take precedent. And then Wednesday comes around and there's no weekly meeting, or we just default to talking about the, you know, the challenge we had with Service Titan or Field Edge or, you know, Wrangler or whatever it is. And we go back and we do the same training every week. And our guys aren't inspired. So what I've done with our virtual training and with our live events is we work to make those incredibly engaging, entertaining, exciting, passionate, emotional. And we break through the clutter and we get men and women to maybe for the first time realize the responsibility that they have to their family, to their organization, to their call center, to their team in the field. And we're getting these folks to implement systems built on high service, not on high pressure. And it's working. You know, you mentioned that we won most value added to your business by a vote internationally of the members of Service Nation Alliance. And this virtual training, it's interactive. It's not like some of the continuing education courses where you can just click a button and then a tech can get up and go make dinner with his wife or his kids. Every 5 minutes or so, there's an interactive question where we stand to the side. They select the button that is appropriate to them and their answer and their personality. And then let's say there's four buttons on screen. They then get a customized video based on their answer. And then after a couple of minutes, they rejoin the training. At the end of that video, these are miniature movies, fully produced. There's a quiz and they've got to pass the quiz to unlock the next video. And so every click, every second, every quiz question, and they've got to pass with an 80% score. The business owners and the leaders get reports on this to know how many seconds, how many minutes, hours did they invest in the training. You can assign them things. It takes them through comprehensive solutions for each department in your company. And then you're going to know who's taking the training serious. And the person, the participant's going to feel like it's custom to them because of the interactive parts. And we're over 1,000 videos, fully produced miniature movies strong now. And it's working. And now what we've done is, instead of having to create your own meetings, we're considering ourselves in pre-launch mode after 2 years behind the scenes working on this. And the reason we're in pre-launch, we've now taken it upon ourselves at our team to create 52 weekly synergy sessions, which are weekly coaching sessions, 45 minutes in length, for the office to run a CSR meeting, for the service manager to run a service meeting, the sales manager to run a sales meeting. And so we're creating those complete with PowerPoint slides, an additional content video, role play timers, role play assignments, assignments for throughout the week so that they come back in prepared for the next meeting. It's essentially everything I did to grow that Linux Partner of the Year company. Everything I did, I'm now putting it in training format so that other business owners can access the same thing and implement the same training on the same path we did.
Man, that's fantastic. What a great offering you guys have. This is going to be a game changer for so many contractors. So when you think about training for contractors and the team that work for the contractors, how much training do you advocate that they get every single week?
It's a tough question because I don't want to scare anybody off here. Let's just take one of my comfort advisors. Every single week, they would be part of our company-wide meeting, which is a meeting focused on the positives. And we would do that from 6:30 to 8 every Wednesday morning. Now, those comfort advisors would also be in a 90-minute sales meeting that week where we were reviewing leads from the past week and then role-playing both what went well and what didn't in a very sophisticated sales process. We would also do the same thing with our service techs and the same thing with our CSRs. So not only were each of those departments in our company-wide meeting, each one of them had a 90-minute meeting. And so once a month, we would do what we called Sales Cave. And that was a 14-hour Friday. And so for 14 hours, we would go from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. and we would do that once a month. And I was putting them through essentially what I would consider like Navy SEAL BUDS training. And I was trying to break them, literally putting them through scenarios that were unimaginable in an actual home where a guy would have to stay in a role play in a closing sequence for an hour and never be in high pressure. And so we have a scoring system. And we would score every nuance, every pause, every cadence, every word that we call wordsmithing. And so we started doing that with our comfort advisors. And it was such a hit and it was such a great ROI that we began doing a service cave. And so we started having service meetings once a month on Fridays that would last the same 14 hours. And then I was a little easier on the CSRs. We would do a CSR once a month on a Friday and the CSRs would do about 10 hours. And then once every 3 months, so once a quarter, we would do an install cave where I'd bring the installers in for a day. And we would role play the call ahead, the door knock, entryway, drop cloths, clean up, walk through. And so my answer to you, now that I shared that, is every single week, every person, every division in our company, company-wide for 90, every division, another 90 minutes, well-prepared meetings, and then once a month, a full immersion type of event. One of my favorite quotes is by Lao Tzu. Lao Tzu said, 1,000-mile journey begins with a single step. And so I'm not suggesting to any of the listeners that they cut their nose off to spite their face. What I am suggesting is that every single day, we're working on consistent and constant improvement.
So I want to go back to the amount of training. I added up what you said. It's about 6 hours a week before some homework, which they would have to do. So that doesn't seem like an unreasonable amount to me. It is probably substantially more than most contractors do, but seems like a pretty doable number. Is that about the number that you're recommending?
Well, I would say that's a great starting point, David. And, you know, it's funny when I speak with a person like you and you say it doesn't seem like that much. Well, of course it doesn't. Not to a person like you who's had the amount of success and scaled the kind of businesses you have. I would say 6 hours is a minimum. But what I would encourage our guys, and they would say, well, where am I going to find the time? I'm already so busy. And I find a lot in the blue collar trades that a lot of guys like to watch football. Yeah. And so I would encourage my guys. I say, hey, there's nothing wrong with football, but let's say that you have a favorite college team and you got a favorite NFL team. Well, when football season comes around, what if you DVR'd the football game and you told all your friends or you just didn't look at your phone for the first half of the game? You could literally find in the first 60
hours,
an hour, right? Every Saturday, every Sunday, you could find an hour right there and then start the game at halftime, DVR it, fast forward through commercials and halftime, and you're back in real time watching the game by the fourth quarter. You can do that each day. I also share with people, sometimes we got to sacrifice a little bit of sleep. Sometimes we got to sacrifice a little bit of Netflix. And so I encourage people, if you got young kids and they're going to come in climbing on you at 6 a.m., get your butt out of bed at 5, put in an hour of personal development before those kids come in, and all of a sudden you're off to the races. You know, I saw a post today by Dave Rothacker. And Dave, I think, you know, one of the most consummate professionals I've ever seen with reading and studying. And he posted his reading schedule.
Oh,
and
yeah.
His
incredible.
Reading schedule is incredible. It's like 3:36 a.m. to 5:42 a.m. And it's day after day after day. It's no wonder he is so brilliant, because he's investing 2 hours before the sunrise every day. And so if we just did a fraction of that. So going back to the training, one of the things that I've encouraged my team and in all the trainings that I do, we have so much windshield time in our industry. And if we would just take half of our windshield time, turn off the stereo, quit calling our fellow technicians, complaining about our last call and where we were sent, and we just invested that time for 30 minutes or 60 minutes, investing that in our own personal growth, thinking about what we're going to say at the next door, how we're going to present the next accessory or repair. I'm telling you, Dave, our lives will never be the same. It's not what we can do in a day or a week. I have found, and I think Tony Robbins said this many years ago, so I don't want to quote the wrong person, but I think Tony said this. I've been saying it for years. We drastically overestimate what we can accomplish in a day or a week, and we underestimate what we can accomplish in a year. The problem is we let ourselves get busy with those ringing phones and those unhappy customers, all those challenges that were going to arise. And so I just say we've got to block the time, make the time, find the time to work on ourselves a little bit every day.
I agree with all that, by the way. One of the things that has always frustrated me is, if you look, it's not just contractors who do this. This is just across the economy in general. In a downturn in the economy, the one place where companies cut so often is training. So if somebody came in to you and said, hey, listen, you know, business isn't going the way it should go. Things are turning down. The economy isn't looking too good. I'm going to have to cut my training. What would you say to that person?
Oh, you're trying to get my blood pressure up, David. You know, the two things they cut, right, are marketing and training. And let's put it like this. Let's say that you don't cut training. And let's say that the economy is tightening. And let's say that because you didn't cut training, you continue to inspire, role play, train your team. You make that part of your company culture, and you're constantly having these conversations about serving our customers better than our competitors would even dream of. Imagine that these 5-6 hours of training that we've now outlined are happening, and that somebody is sitting in the facility and the phone rings. Well, if there's not any training going on, this person now doesn't feel like they have any accountability. And over time, the accountability becomes less and less. But if they just walked out of a role play session where they're handling the customer that calls up and says, yeah, I'm just looking for a ballpark on a new water heater. And that person says, I'm sorry, we don't get ballparks. And then they go, well, no, just give me a range. I'm sorry, we don't do that. We'd have to send a man out in a truck. Well, how much is it? I won't be able to tell you until we get there. All right, thanks. Right? I've listened to thousands and thousands of calls in my own company and others, and that's happening all the time until we start training and changing the mindset. But to your point, David, imagine if that CSR answers that call in a certain way with a mentality towards servitude and actually schedules that call that now a technician runs. The technician runs, and it's a 20-year-old system. The technician's been in training, has the right mindset, was listening during their windshield time, mentally prepared when they knocked on that door, served that customer, went through an effective communication process, and worked them into either a full repair, maybe some optional repairs, maybe some accessories to solve additional challenges in the home. Or goodness sakes, what if they set a lead for a comfort advisor that was also being trained, role-playing, going through their weekly assignments, mentally prepared to run that sales lead, scheduled with the right CSR for 60 to 90 minutes with both homeowners present. And imagine that now the call is scheduled, the visit is run, the tech does his part, identifies a 20-year-old system, shares with the homeowner with high service, not high pressure, why they might be interested in putting that good money into a new system with a 10-year parts and labor warranty.
And then a comfort advisor comes in and they go full high efficiency, all the bells and whistles, indoor air quality, everything. And that comfort advisor walks out with a $25,000, $35,000 high efficiency ticket, to which a new install team walks in, puts down their drop cloths, communicates, earns a 5-star review throughout. And that person said, we've got to save money, so we can't do training. Well, now take that one person. And if you serve people in the way I just outlined, imagine the lifetime value of not just that customer. If we serve them in that way, how many people are they going to tell at work? How many are they going to tell at the Little League park? How many people are they going to tell? And that 35,000 turns into additional reviews. People are talking about it on Nextdoor. They're talking about it, you know, everywhere. I believe that that one call that could have been lost because somebody said, how much is a water heater? That could be hundreds of thousands of dollars. Lifetime value with all the referrals and the 5-star reviews, we could be talking about millions of dollars. So the last thing that I believe that we should do is cut our training budget. Every single one of the larger companies that I meet or work with, David, I have not met a single one that doesn't do ongoing, consistent training. Every single one is out there and they are training. Their guys and their gals are role-playing and they've got weekly assignments and they're expected to show up with their shirts tucked in, clean, with their facial hair trimmed, not gone. That they're expected to look the part, act the part, smell the part. And that's what the bigger companies are doing.
So we're getting close to running out of time. I've got three questions I want to ask. First question is, you mentioned all the reading you've done over time. What are you reading currently?
Well, I am a 7 Habits leadership instructor. So if I haven't recommended the book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, I would strongly, strongly recommend that one. And then I usually read 2 new books a week, David. So every week it's something new. I just recently read The Red Chair Experience by Chris Michelle, who's now the training director at Service Nation Alliance. That book snuck up on me. It is so good. And Chris is a guy that comes from the trade. So I would highly, highly recommend that book. And then 7 Power Contractor. I just toured Tommy Mello's facility last Friday and Al Levy was there. And the 7 Power Contractor, an incredible book. And then I'm going to recommend one that many in the industry may have not have read. There's a book by Chip and Dan Heath called Switch. It's about how to change when change is hard. And so a lot of the things that you and I are talking about on this podcast today, you know, it's not going to be easy. We're going to have to overcome years and years of the current habits that we've created in our business. And so that book, Switch by Chip and Dan Heath, I think is a great read. And that's one of the books that I read every year. So that one, and then Ruth King, The Courage to be Profitable.
Wait. I just ask you for one. You've given me 4. You're adding 5. You know,
we're talking about the last week.
No, I ask you what book you're reading currently.
Okay. All right.
That's okay.
All right. I've got another one that I'm reading currently. The Power of Moments. Okay. That's also a Chip and Dan Heath book. So that is a book that I'm actually right in the middle of right now, The Power of Moments. And I think that's a great book for all of our listeners that are working to create working environments for their teams to do things special for them.
Good stuff. All right. Final question. If someone wanted to get hold of you or your team, what would be the best way for them to do that?
Let's just have them email me. You can email me at Doug, D-O-U-G, at synergylearningsystems.net. That's .net, not .com. Oh, by the way, David, can I give one more book?
Okay.
All right. Marcus Sheridan, he's in home services, but he's in pools. Marcus Sheridan, They Ask, You Answer, get the newest revised version. It's a book that will change our lives as contractors and a whole new philosophy when it comes to those phones ringing and how we go about our business. So anyway, if you go to my website, synergylearningsystems.net, you can also find all pricing on my website. You don't have to call me. There's not going to be a long sales presentation or process. We work off of referral, and it's a great place to be in where we get referral after referral of people coming to us without having to be out there promoting our programs all the time.
All right. Doug, thank you so much for doing this with me. It has been a fascinating conversation. The amount of information you've got and your background and your success are stunning. And I'm looking forward to hearing about how things go forward with Synergy Learning Systems. I know it's going to be fantastic growth for you guys.
Thank you so much, David. It is truly an honor to be here on the podcast with you. And I hope one day we'll be able to join you again.
We're always looking for good ideas and interviews for our podcast. If you have an idea or maybe you think you should be interviewed, just shoot an email to profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. That's profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. If you think what we're doing has any value, it would be very helpful if you would give us a great rating on iTunes. Thanks for your support. Hope to see you again soon. Bye.